Hello, and welcome to another episode of What We Read in the Bedroom. My name is Kaylin. How are you guys doing today? I'm doing good. I know this is coming out hours later than it was supposed to. I had a lot of technical difficulties last night. I finally get everything going to where it needs to be. So, yeah. Was I expecting those technical difficulties? No, God, no. One of them I still haven't fixed, and for some reason that is my printer, and I don't know how to fix my printer. So, yeah, that's still something I'm trying to solve. But I did wake up to snow, which is fantastic. I thought about making myself a hot chocolate, which I still might do after this. And I thought about putting in some Irish cream. And I'm just like, as good as that sounds, I am actually going to be picking my brothers up in a couple hours and taking them bowling. So even though it's a small amount of alcohol, I'd still rather not. Maybe once I get back from that. Yeah, it's been a week, so I'm counting down the days until I go on vacation, which is what now, 12 or 13 days, I can't remember. I think it's 12 days until I'm on vacation for 10 glorious days. 10 days where I don't have to think about work. I'm still gonna put out episodes. A couple of them will probably be from where I am actually going to be at for vacation. But I don't have to think about my other job, which is very nice. It's only been a couple, not even a month into the new year, and I'm already tired of my job. So we're going to get into our book. So our book that we have this week is The Dragon's Wing by Tate James. Our characters are Kit, Lucy, Caleb, Austin, Cole, River, Wes, Valley, Jonathan, and Simon. Kit and the guys are going to go paintballing because Kit and Lucy had just graduated from high school, and this is like the celebration before she starts Omega training. Now, I have gone paintballing once. I wanted to go when I was younger because my dad was going to go with like some friends of his or something, and he invited my brother. I said I wanted to go too, and my dad told me no. And my brother, from what I remember, my brother did not find it fun. It was probably, I don't know if they did an indoor or outdoor course, and it was probably about winter time too. But when I did paintballing, I was on vacation in Florida. I went to go visit, my then, boyfriend, my now ex, so we went paintballing down there, and I found it fun. I've realized over the last many years that I am, best way to put this is, I don't like to lose. I'm very competitive, and but it's only like games like that. Like when I play laser tag, I play to win. So games like that, I'm just like, I need to win. So paintballing, it was kind of the same way. My My ex, he got shot maybe twice and he said no more and didn't really play. And I'm just like, and by the end of our games, I am just covered in welts. Anyway, back to this. Kit, Cole, and River are on a team while Caleb, Austin, and Wes are on the other. Now, so they're playing capture the flag. Now, Kit is in charge of the flag for her team. And River and Cole tell her that Austin is going to be in charge of the other team's flag. So, and they're just like, that's what they always do. Austin's in charge of it because he is the best marksman, while Wes and Caleb roam the field. So they think with it being those two that they're gonna go easy on her. As predicted, Caleb kind of like stalks up to where Kit is, and he's being very stealthy and, just kind of acting more cautious than he usually would. And so one of the questions that she had asked River and Cole before they went to their own positions was, does the flag have to be visible? And they're just like, there's no rule against it. So what she did, she unzipped her hood or unzipped the jumpsuit she was in, stashed it into her cleavage, and then zipped it back up. You can't see it. There was no rules against it. And so she finally, like, Kit finally, like, relents a little bit, tells Caleb to come up to her, and then she, ever since the thing with Simon, she hasn't really been all that either intimate or touchy-feely with any of the guys, and she's starting to have that come back to her. So she starts making out with Caleb, and as soon as he sees the flag, he grabs it, he shoots her in close range, and it's like right in the stomach. And it doesn't matter how close or like it's gonna hurt a lot fucking more when it's close, but no matter what, that fucking hurts getting shot with those. But when she looks down, she sees that the paint is red. Red is not Caleb's color, red is Austin's. She's storming off to find the rest of the guys when she's pulled to a stop by a man named Sergey. Now, she had met Sergey twice before, and this was all in the last book. She met him the first time with River, then with Cole. And each time he had told her that her name was Emily. Well, Sergey chloroforms her, and then when she wakes up, she finds that she is around all these other women who really, none of them speak English except for one, and she's told that she's being sold. Kit's trying to get out of there, and this girl's just like the last person who tried ended up getting their leg broken and were shot because they were told they were no longer viable or useful to them. So she has to change her clothes and she into a more I think so. The people that are running this sex trade ring basically want these girls and women that they're selling to wear the least amount of clothing as possible, but still being covered. So Kit finds one that has the least amount of blood on it. And then every girl is drugged, including Kit. Now she, Kit, now she puts the drug like under her tongue or on the other side of her cheek, but she gets bumped into and she swallows it. Now it does take a little bit for the drugs to work in her system, and it does take a little longer for this to get out. But while she's on the stage and she's drugged, she thinks she sees Simon. but she's not 100% sure about this. But the one person that she sees that she knows for sure is there is Mr. Gray. And she tells herself right then and there that, you know, he is not going to be the one that is going to buy me. If he does, I will kill him before he can get me anywhere. Luckily, she isn't sold to him, but she is sold to a man who is called the Romanian. Now, they take her to the airport and she tries to run for it, but it doesn't work out for her. When she gets on the plane, he tells her to call her Valley. She's thinking to herself, he looks like someone I know, but she just can't place it. He drugs her as well, and when she wakes up, she's in a bedroom. Soon after that, this woman named Elena comes in, and Kit thinks this is either a girlfriend or his mistress. And so they talk a little bit, and Elena's just like, I'm not gonna help you escape, blah blah blah. Valley is a very nice man, yada yada yada, and she's just like, yeah, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid everyone else is. Once Elena leaves, though, Kit is trying to escape. Now, she makes it to a window. She sees that the window, or she finds that the window's unlocked, and she goes out and she realizes that the house is built into a cliff. Now, she has done rock climbing in the past, but she's not going to climb up. She's going to climb down. Now, I have never tried rock climbing. I do not have the upper body strength to do it. My shoulders are fucked beyond belief, so it's not gonna happen for me. But I have to guess that climbing down is 100 times harder than climbing up. But before she can make it too far down, Valley opens the window. He catches her as she loses her grip. And not too long after this comes in, they have like a loud argument. Valley's father comes in. Now he is the older Romanian. And no one likes this guy, and we learn why later on. But he comes in and he tells Valley that, you know, he has sold Kit to a man that is paying twice as much as what he bought for her. And Kit knows that this is Mr. Gray. And she tells Valley that she would rather die than go with him. Valley tells her, you know, I have a plan to get you out of here, but it can't happen until midnight, because it's New Year's Eve and we need everyone distracted. So finally it comes time for her to leave. Valley takes her to the garage, and that's where she meets Jonathan and another Omega agent. When they start heading to the car, shots are fired and the other agent dies. And this turns out to be Mr. Gray and his goons, thugs, whatever the fuck you want to call them, and starts a shootout. Now, right when I don't know why I call her Kip. I have a cousin Kip, but I know it's not Kip. It's Kit. Okay. Yes, I have a cousin named Kip. Okay. Anyhow, to you. Okay. So right when Kit has a shot of someone, I can't remember who it is, she literally gets tackled from behind, and she finds out it was Valley that had tackled her to get her out of the way because someone had come up behind her and was about to take a shot. But Valley was shot, and he shot bad enough to where if Kit didn't have the abilities that she has, that he would have died. So she heals him. And then they get into the car and they head out. And then they head to, Jonathan takes her to the Omega plane. They fly to New York. She gets dropped off at the Brownstone, but Jonathan takes off. And, you know, this is a little strange to Kit. Thinking, you know, I've been missing for God knows how many days. She finds out it's 10 days. And that, you know, you would have think my adopted father would want to spend time with me to make sure that I'm all right. So in the middle of the night, she gets woken up by this aggressive knocking on the front door, and she finds Cole there. Closer to the morning, River gets into the house, and a few hours after that, the rest of the guys get there. When Kit finally comes downstairs, she hears an argument between Wes and River. Now, Wes is the last one that she would think would be argumentative with anyone, but she hears him saying that, you know, Kit should be taken to a hospital to get looked at, and River's just like, well, Kit didn't want that, and he goes, of course she doesn't. And, you know, when Kit goes into the room, she makes a good argument. She goes, even if I did and they ran my blood, like, what's gonna come up? We never something can come up in blood work that makes people be like, time to experiment. And she does tell Wes that anything that did happen, her body would have healed from it. And, you know, it's better not, and for her, it's better not knowing. So after this argument ends, they go down to a diner that's down the road, and on their way back, this car bomb goes off, and Kit and Cole are the only ones that were in the vicinity of that, so they get injured in the process. Kit's able to heal herself and rushes over to Cole. Now, Cole is literally on the brink of death at this point. But she's able to heal him, and once she's done, she's completely drained, so she passes out. When she wakes up, one of the first things she hears is arguing. So she goes downstairs, and the voices become a little louder, and one of them is familiar, but she just can't place it. When she gets to the living room, she finds Cole and Valley in a heated argument, and that's when she finds out that they're brothers. Soon they're hearing sirens, and this is about 20 minutes after the bomb went off. So they're just like, oh, someone had to have stopped emergency services from coming, and they're trying to wonder who exactly it was. Maybe it was someone from Dupree or Mr. Gray, but they didn't know. And so they just like, okay, it's time to go. We're going to go towards the plan that we have, and that's going to a place in Alaska that Mr. Nginnam, he was a new teacher of the academy. Mr. I don't remember. It begins with a G. I remember that much. And this is going to lead them to a man named Vic, who will tell them what they can about who she is and what she is, along with about her mother. During the flight, things do turn a little shaky, and that's when Cole starts to get angry and starts shifting, and Valley goes on high alert and tells Kit that she needs to get him to calm down and stop the shift, or else he will kill everyone on the plane. And Valley tells him that, you know, he had gotten to a very heated argument with his father, and he just got so angry that he shifted into a dragon. Now he's just like, Cole's gonna shift into a dragon as well, because, I mean, why would he not? So and here's the thing, we're not talking about tiny dragons. No, we're talking Harry Potter giant dragons, Game of Thrones giant dragons, like huge fucking dragons. So kid is able to get Cole to calm down. The rest of the flight is very uneventful. So they finally get to where they're going in Alaska, and this is a place called Hero. And from then, Wes and Kit are just like, we're going to go and we're going to talk to the locals. We look like the most, we're the least scary of the bunch, is basically what they say. And they ended up finding a mechanic, and he's just like, oh, I'm going to take you to Granny Winter. Who, when Granny Winter first sees Kit go, like, it's not listening to a single word that Kit and Wes are saying. They knock Wes out, and Granny Winter keeps on calling her bride. And so we're just like, oh my god, Granny Winter thinks that Kit is her mother, Bridget. And so Kit is put on trial. Now, the trial is a fight to the death against a challenger of Granny Winter's own choosing. Now, she chooses the girl who has the metal claws that fought Kit at the lab. Now, this girl's name is Chesha. But during the fight, the guys are seeing Kit's full strength and speed. Now, Granny Winter is just like asking all the guys, how does she still have her speed and strength? She's been away from her guardians for so long. And they're just like, we fucking told you. That is not Bridget. That's Bridget's daughter, Kit. Or Christina. Yes, Kit's real name is Christina. She hates to go by it, though. Right when Kit is about to kill Chesha, Nikolai yells at Kit to stop and to let Franny, whose real name is Francesca, but thought Cheska would be a more badass name, to let her go. And then Granny Winter is coming out, and they're just, and Nikolai is just like, why you let them believe that you were Bridget? And they're just, and Kit's just like, no, the old bitch wouldn't fucking believe me when I wasn't. And you see Nick get so fucking mad at this. And he's just like, I would have never have sent her here if this is what would have happened. Before anything else can really happen, though, one of the locals comes, runs over to him and tells him that people are stealing the children. And so they start running back, and what they see are mercenaries tranquilizing the children and other shifters, basically anyone that they can find, and throwing them in the back of trucks. Now, Kit is already pretty drained from this entire fight, and from the fight that she had with Franny. And so they all spring into action, but Kit sees someone that really fucking pisses her off, and that's Simon. And he tells her that Mr. Gray says hi and then shoots Kit. Austin is the only one to see this. Cole and Valley had shifted into dragon form and were just laying waste to everyone else. But Austin runs over and helps her regain some strength. And it's around this time that most of all the shifters had been saved. While Cole and Valley are in dragon form, we find out that Cole is an ice dragon and Valley is a fire dragon. And they are killing the mercenaries with their dragon breath or dragon fire, whichever one you want to call it. Kit goes after Simon, but due to the dragons and the noise and everything else, an avalanche comes down and actually kills Simon, which is awesome. Kit passes out to wake up in Vic's house, and the guys tell her that Granny Winter felt bad, so she's letting them stay in Vic's house. She actually comes over and gives a very angry apology, which technically isn't even an apology. But not long after Kit is up to her full strength, meaning she had sex with one or multiple of the guys, Vic comes home and he is starting to wonder who the fuck is in her house, in his house, why are they there, and what do they want? And that's the end of the book. So this book, okay. This book has got some funny scenes, some very heartbreaking scenes, especially since we know that sex trade is a thing that does go on in the world. And, you know, it's fucking heartbreaking that there are places that actually do this. And knowing that, you know, even though in this sale, Kit was safe the entire time, but not any of the others were. And some of them had been in this since they were teen. But we do get a lot of information on what Kit's abilities can do now, because, you know, she's healed her first two people, first Valley, then Cole, and knowing that they're both dragons is pretty fucking awesome, yet a little terrifying at the same time. And when I mean terrifying too, okay, picture, and when I mean terrifying, I mean terrifying for them, because their first shift, I mean, Cole has a better understanding of his shift than Valley did, because Valley kind of explained kind of everything that probably will happen, but Valley had no idea. He had no idea that the supernaturals were a thing, that this was even a possibility, and so this is just completely out of the blue for him. And then to just change into a fucking dragon and wondering what the fuck is wrong, I mean, I would freak the fuck out. And his first notion was to go to Kit, which is an amazing notion, by the way. But yeah. Then, I mean, we do get a little information about Bridget, Kit's mom, from Granny Winter and her reaction. So you know that, you know, Bridget doesn't have the best track record. And as the books further on, we learn more information about Bridget. We learn a shit ton of more information about Kit, even some of the guys, which some of the information that you learn about the guys really fucking throws you. Trying to think if there's anything else. I can't think of anything. So with that all being said and done, I will see you guys all next week.